preaching sermons, because I think it must be my sixth, I think. Right. Well, not bad. I feel very honored to be speaking here today because of what this church has been to me. And that's why I wanted to share with you something specific around my journey over the last 9 years. If you go to the next slide, you all know this specific, you know this, the Millennium Bridge. And the reason why this is a big, important symbol in my life is because it represents its journey. I must have crossed that bridge 1,500 times already. And every time I've crossed, the majority of the times I've crossed that bridge, it's been accompanied with anguish, struggle, and despair. The struggle with God about why I was in the circumstances that I didn't want to be in. You see, most people see, well, most of you see the bridge this way. But the way I saw the bridge, if you look at the next slide, this is what I saw. Yes, it was because it was usually 5-6 o'clock in the morning, and most times it's dark. But emotionally, I saw the bridge this way as well. Darkness. Despair. Those that know me, well, you might think, it's crazy. For the last 9 years, I must have lived a fantastic, adventurous life. I've been traveling regularly for the last 9 years. Not occasionally per year. It's about 8 to 12 times a year. And that means a lot of time away from home. My children had a joke at school that their friends used to say, ask them what I did, and they eventually figured out I was a spy because I was traveling all over the world. They couldn't tell my friends where I was going often because they weren't allowed to. And also they couldn't explain what exactly I did. Why is this a problem? I've been to 30 countries in the world, much more than most anybody will be in their life. I've been blessed, yes. But to be practical, I had a life living out of a spreadsheet. Because I had built up a spreadsheet, my name, when I was going where, my Anneli, my wife, my children, each of their life events, when they were school events, all those things. And that is how I lived my life. Deciding, is a birthday more important than an anniversary? Okay, whose school event am I going to attend and whose school event I'm not going to attend? And the problem was I blamed God for this. I was angry at God often about not releasing me from these circumstances that I was in. And that's the bridge. I used to run over that bridge arguing, complaining, struggling with God about my life. I took some two pieces out of Facebook just to illustrate the way I was feeling. 2014, I said, strange how you can be in a city with millions of people and still feel as if you are the only person on earth. I remember clearly, it was the week that Robin Williams committed suicide. In 2015, I said, the worst part of travel being alone, eventually it comes knocking at your door and says, "Uzit me pelva tukir." It is sitting there on your own, having dinner, and being away from home. And, as I said, it was God's fault, as far as I was concerned. God gave me this job. He did. I would not have been in this job I was. I would never have worked for a tobacco company if it wasn't for God giving it to me. Because both my grandparents died from tobacco. God gave me these abilities. He's made me successful. He's blessed me. So it is God's fault that I'm in the situation. I would not be doing this job if it was not for God. So this is where the Millennium Bridge comes into it. Because, in 2014 as well, after many struggles, my boss came to me and said, "I've got bad news. Your job is going to end in South Africa. You're going to have to either move to London or you're going to lose your job or you're going to be retrenched." I was fine because, you see these things coming from a long time. And after all, I was struggling with God about it. So next morning, again, I was on the bridge. And I found myself arguing with God again about how can you do this? Why is he going to force me to come to London or get retrenched? I don't have a future with this company anymore. And as I ran across that bridge, I heard the Spirit say to me, "What's your problem? You've been complaining about this all your life, since all every time you come across this bridge. You don't know what the future is going to hold, but it's going to be different to what is now." And as if, yeah, the Spirit, at that point in time, Jason Upton sang Amazing Grace. And I thought, amazing, you know. Boy, was it true. The next year and a half was very different. My life changed, but not in the way I expected. My father got diagnosed with terminal cancer. I had a stroke when I was in Rio, and then eventually my father passed away. So instead of me traveling less, I was traveling more because I lived in Cape Town. My father lived in near Johannesburg in Witbank, and when I wasn't here, I was trying to spend a lot of time with my father. So yes. But this strange thing happened between 2014 and probably last year. There was a subtle difference in the way I crossed that bridge. I think something happened in that period that it wasn't such a big struggle for me anymore. Why am I sharing this with you? Because I think we all, at some point in our life, get to that point where we have this bridge that we have to cross over. This bridge that we constantly struggle with God. This bridge that we argue with God and why are we here? Why are we doing this? Why have to go through this life? Some of you might be now. Some of you might have been there and got the T-shirt and the scars. Who knows? You might end up there again. And some of you haven't been there yet. So I thought I'd like to share a few principles in my life that applied, that carried me these last 9 years. You see, it's only God that can change your attitudes, can change your life. But we have a responsibility not to just be like a train on a track, just going where we are led. So Jeremiah 29 sums up a bit what I feel. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. James says, draw near to me and I will draw to you, near to you. We have a responsibility to draw towards God. And there are some principles that I applied in this journey that allowed me to draw to God in the times when I did not want to be near to God. In the times that I did not want to speak to him, where I wanted to fight with him. And we need to pursue God. And the principles that I applied. I want to start with the first one. The one that constantly is non-negotiable to me, and that is to worship. Worship, worship, worship. This little iPod, been my constant companion. Doesn't look very good, okay? I actually almost burst into tears, I think last year, when I thought this iPod wasn't working anymore. Fortunately, it was a little bit of fluff in the hole. Jack didn't want to go in there. I got it out. I don't still go anywhere without my iPod. It's constantly in my ears. You'll see when I arrive here. To me, it's a non-negotiable in that sense. I remember once in Rome, it was shortly after my father passed away, I was very, very down. And I was walking the streets, this beautiful Rome, and very despondent, and I heard this music. And it was a Catholic church. There were nuns singing in this Catholic church. And I went in, and there were nuns sitting around, spread around, and they were singing this song, Vieni ni noi, Spiritus Santos. Holy Spirit, rain down on us. And they were singing, and then they read verses, and they were singing. And I sat down, And there was, fortunately, there was a piece of paper with the words on. It's Latin or Italian, I don't know what it is. And so I was singing with him. And I had an encounter with God through that worship, sitting there in a church in Rome, moving from being totally, totally depressed, just wanting to leave this place, to a point that I was glad to be there. Something that I've experienced, an encounter that took me to a place that I felt there's purpose. And that brings me, I've put some verses, I don't have to go through the verses, but the verses just to illustrate the fact that reinforced in the word, worship. The example here from the word is Peter and Silas as well, when they were in the jail. And they were worshiping the Lord. And while they were singing hymns to God and other prisoners listening to them, suddenly there was a violent earthquake and their chains were broken. Captivity was gone through that worship, singing hymns to God. So moving on to the next principle, though, for discipline that I applied was surrounding yourself with fellow Christians. And this is why I'm here. I Facebook is a fantastic thing. It reminds you about your life. And I figured out I've been coming to Shofar Tooting and then Shofar London since 2012. 6 years. I found, when you travel, you go to a new city. And there's fantastic places to go and see, new things to experience, things like that. But after the third or fourth time, you wake up in the morning on the weekend, you say, what am I going to do to distract myself now? And I found that I found myself drawn to find fellow Christians because I needed that fellowship. When I used to come to London, before I came to Shofar, I used to go to a place called Modern Jesus Army. I don't know if you've heard of it. They're in central London. Slightly radical. You can hear that in the name. Doesn't matter. I got healed from health issues there. And I'll be able to witness about the fact. I've had experiences with God and encounters with God in St. Petersburg in an Anglican church. In a Catholic church in Rio. I remember after my stroke, I said to the taxi driver, I said, just take me to any church. I went to the church and I sat down and I laid it all before God. Unfortunately, somebody was cleaning the place and they came to the piano and they started cleaning the piano and it just totally messed up my prayer. Because it cling, 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 cling. But anyway, you need to surround yourself with fellow Christians. Because even in a time of need, David's not here, but I remember, again, after my stroke in Rio, I was at home recovering, and it was pastor's conference. And he was in Franschhoek. You guys know, it's our drive from Franschhoek. He was willing to come and visit me from Franschhoek. My home. Eventually said to him, listen, it's 9:10 in the evening. You can't drive from Franschhoek to here. But that is what Philip Christmas did for me and carried me. And I mean, I could talk a lot about this. It was Mother's Day. Yeah. I was still grateful. Mother's Day, and I arrived and there was these pictures of all the mothers and children hanging up. And I walked up and there was my wife and children hanging there. I was not officially part of this community, and they'd put me up there. So, Hebrews says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So fellowship, finding those places, those people that you can share with. I don't think I ever, I know David and Sally knew I was struggling, but I didn't really share much with anybody else, but I was just being here, and it was important to be here. And it was I knew that Sunday I had somebody to go to, and that people that cared. The next discipline I want to talk about is spending time with God. Now, you might say, oh, that's obvious, you know, come on, really. But I think it's much neglected. The 30 to 35 minutes every morning I used to go run, I do still run, is my time with God. That time on that bridge, although it was an argument and a struggle, and it was an engagement with God. Because God doesn't want apathetic, happy, joyful people that are, sorry, use the word, happy clappies, okay? He wants people engaged with him. He wants people that really want to interact with him and to find out. And that's the struggle that I have. I mean, I knew every night when I went to bed, I knew next morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to have an argument with God, but I did it. Because I had to have that time with God. Philippians says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend. In Psalm 34, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to broken heart and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person, because I truly am a righteous person. I've been saved by God through Jesus' blood. But I still have troubles. But the Lord delivers from them. People may ask you, well, why go running? I even went running in minus 13 degrees in St. Petersburg because I had to. And over 40 degrees in India with 80% humidity. Not in a room out there. And you ask me why not sit in your room and engage with God? Because of the stress levels I was under. Whenever I tried to be quiet, my head was filled with work, with everything around me. And being on that road allowed me to focus on God. Each of us has a different thing to allow them to focus on God. That is mine. You need to find that thing that allows you to focus on God and do it diligently every day. The next thing was focus on other people's circumstances. The more I struggled, the more I started seeing other people's plight and the things around me, the people around me. And I was just thinking, I remember so clearly each and every person's face that I've actually helped. I remember a little gypsy girl in Romania. I remember this Indian lady in Chennai who I gave a $20 bill to. And the taxi driver says to me she has no clue what this is. Because she's never in her life seen a US dollar. Obviously, many of them don't. But the actual thing is that $20 was a month's food for them. The taxi driver had to explain to them. The lady in Rome that I just walked past and I just gave something to. I came out of Green Park once and there was this young girl, 18-year-old, sitting there. And it wasn't about money. So I sat down next to her and started talking and trying to understand why she's sitting on the street. Why? I mean, it's England. Come on, you can get the dole. And she explained the situation and stepfather kicking her out. She has to apply there and just long story, but still doesn't matter. I remember her very well. And have any of you read the book, A Street Cat Named Bob? So I came out of, what's the bookstore? It doesn't exist. Doesn't matter. The bookstore. It used to be a big store with a B. And I came out of the bookstore, and there was this guy selling Big Issue. And I stopped and had a discussion with him, and they had the cat with him, and we were talking, a long conversation with him about him and the cat and so on. And it must be 3 years ago, later, I ran into the same guy in Covent Garden selling books. Book about his life and his life with his cat. Okay, that guy remembered me from that conversation. Okay, and he signed my book that I bought from him. He now has a animated series about that cat on YouTube. He's done 3-4 books, something like that. I can't say that I had an impact on his life. Okay? He had an impact on my life, and that was important. Yes, I probably helped him out that day with some money, but he had an impact on my life. And 3.5 years ago, I also got involved in an organization called Carry On For Babies, where I started smuggling baby clothes to South Africa. Yeah, smuggling. And I've even enticed a couple of other people like David and Dong and them to take baby clothes back to South Africa. And it just gave my travels a lot more purpose than just focusing on work and being away from home. It's interesting if you look at Philippians 4, verse 3 to 4. Go back. Do nothing for selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Interesting. Philippians 4, verse 3 to 4. Just now we read Philippians 6 to 7, 4 verse 6 to 7, where it spoke, put your worries on God, and then will talking about worrying about other people's interests, and then also God taking away your worries. 3-4 verses from each other. There is a connection between giving up your own worries and looking at other people and forgetting about your worries. The last principle that I want to talk about is I call about stop asking why. I used to do this often, and I wrote on Facebook, well, here I am once again far from home, wondering if it's all worth it, wondering whether it isn't a better way, wondering if I'm missing something, wondering why. The problem is we focus too much on the why. Because, I mean, it's a senseless exercise. If you look at what the word says about it, on the next slide. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And then to him the nations are far less than nothing. God controls the stars in the sky and everyone on this earth. When God does something, we cannot change it or even ask why. So if the word is so clear about us not understanding God's motives, why even bother asking the question? The thing is, you need to stop asking about motives and ask about purpose. And when I started asking, okay, fine, what does God want me in the association to do? Not why I'm here, but what does he want me to do? How does he want me to be a blessing to those around me and for him today? I moved from it being a motive thing to a purpose thing. And the interesting thing is when I stopped asking why, the why became apparent. You must ask the question why. You must focus on the things that God really knows and understands and wants you to do. See that piece that I had previous on the Facebook. Let's go back. I was in Rome at that time asking these questions. And I thought, I mean, think back. Here I'm in Rome. The city in the world that has the second biggest impact on Christianity, in the history of Christianity. City where there's a Colosseum where Christians were slaughtered for the joy and fun of the emperor. How much more did they have to ask why? They didn't. So why should I be asking why when they didn't even have to do that? Couldn't do that. So stop asking why. Stop looking for God's motive and look for God's purpose. So just in summary, before I finish. Yes, worship. Surround yourself with fellow Christians. Spend time with God. Focus on other people's circumstance. Stop asking why and focus on what. You see, because at some point the release will come. At some point, God will. Either he will take you out of circumstances, or he will allow you to cross that bridge joyfully. So, 3 years after, almost exactly 3 years after my boss told me my job is going to end in South Africa and I'm going to have to come to London. Didn't actually happen, but I found myself on the Millennium Bridge again with Jackie. And I found myself on my knees with my head bowed against the bridge. And even though it was night, there were a lot of people walking past us. Those that were here, it was when we salted the Thames. And I didn't care about the people walking past. I didn't care that they were looking at me. I didn't care because I was there to pray for the people of London. For the people that had been part of my life. And to me, it was a thing about removing this garment of mourning to replace it with a garment of joy. That day, I took this picture. And this is now how I see the bridge. I still cross that bridge every day when I'm in London. But it's different. I cross it with joy. Yesterday, I ran across that bridge. And the people on the bridge taking photographs, and I was photobombing them as I passed them. There was this couple, they were getting married, or they were taking my photographs there. And I stopped and congratulated them. They were flabbergasted, but to me it was fun to cross this bridge in joy. Because God does bring the release. As I said, either that you can cross that bridge with joy in your heart, or you have another bridge down the line. So we, it might be appropriate to, if we can go back, go to the next slide for Jeremiah. I just want to remind Jeremiah 29. To me, it's an amazing verse here. Talking about when you call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I mean, I know, whenever I was on the bridge, I was really, all my heart was in it. An angry heart, but it was a heart seeking God. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and from all the places. I mean, to me, all the nations. I mean, I've been to so many nations. And God has released me from captivity. Does it mean that I'll stop traveling? The actual reason why I asked, because I'm at risk of not coming to London again at some stage, but who knows? I expected to have not had be working for BAT anymore 3 years ago. And yet I'm still working. Because God has blessed me. God has blessed me. And I think remembering and drawing close to God, drawing, seeking through these, okay, I've forgotten the word now. Through remembering what God has done to us, for us. Because the biggest captivity is taken out of it is our captivity of sin, our captivity of eternal death. I think if each of you, on your own, shut your eyes, and those of you that have a struggle with this bridge like I had, I'm really happy to have a sit with you, pray with you, share with you. But those that, I think it's appropriate for us just to shut our eyes and once again, pursue God. Reach out to God. Ask God to draw close to us as we draw close to Him. Oh Lord, mighty God, I thank you that we can remember your name, can worship you, can bow down before you, and can eat this bread of life, and be washed clean by this sign of your blood. And I thank you, Lord, that you are forgiving. You're forgiving that when we are struggling, when we are angry with you, you do not hold it against us, Lord. Your love transcends anything that we may bring. As long as we come to you and bow down, and you are faithful, and you will replace that garment of mourning with the garment of joy. So have a few moments and eat the bread and drink the wine. And when you're done, you can maybe go out, and these, anybody that wants prayer, by all means come up and I'll pray with you.
Morning, all of us just keep our eyes closed, because this is time between you and God. It's precious moments. Thanks, William. It's always so beautiful when it's authentic and it's out of the heart. And, I just believe that for some of us, it's a mark of a season that God wants to come and transform into something beautiful. Some of us maybe are sitting here this morning and you've been through a lot of struggle. You've asked a lot of why questions to God, and it's almost as if you are still not at a place where you know exactly what God wants. And this morning God wants you to surrender, to embrace the breach in your life. God wants to open your eyes to see the breach differently. God wants to open your eyes and let you see what He has done and wants to do in this breach in your life. And I believe that some of us might not even, you know, be at a place where you want to acknowledge that things have changed. This morning, God wants to gently take you by the hand and lead you into the new season for your life, into a place where you can really draw closer to Him. That is you this morning. We want to pray with you. We want to trust that God is going to do something symbolic this morning. You know, it's when we start to focus on other people's hardship that we can focus away from our own pain. But to get to that bridge, to focus away from self and those scars that was inflicted upon your life, that is a place of maturity. And God is gentle to take us through all of our pains till we can get to that place where we can start to have the victory and start to be a blessing to others. But this morning, God wants to lead you to such a place where you can at least just say, God, here is my baggage. Here is the issues in my life. I can't get through them. I acknowledge it before you this morning, and I acknowledge that I don't have the ability to get through it. But what I do know is, God, I need you desperately. If that is you this morning, then I want you to just, in an act of worship this morning, just come and stand here in front. Not to be exposed, but to actually bring that baggage before God. And we're going to worship, maybe do one or two songs of worship. But if you feel that God has brought you to a place of victory and you're fine this morning, please go and have some coffee and enjoy with us some social time. But don't leave this place if there's baggage that you need to bring to God. Bring that mess. God loves the mess. God loves us. And all that He wants us to do is to acknowledge that we are in a mess. So while we worship softly, just come and stand here in front. We'll pray and anoint. You, William, will this morning pray for you out of his scars and just the blessing that God has brought to bring those scars into a place of authority, a place where you can rule and reign over them. Amen.
Sorry, I was preparing for the hosting, and I thought the Holy Spirit led it in my heart to share this. I shared with Laura and Jackie on Thursday evening, and I just realized when you preached this morning, I realized that's the reason why I had to share with them and then also share with the rest of you this morning. We had very good friends in Stellenbosch, and they had a boy, which is now already out of school. But he was then, I think, Johanan was maybe 7 years old. I don't know how old he was. And then they got a little girl. And that little girl was born with a tummy, a defect. Yeah, so she couldn't, everything that she was swallowing, all the food that went into her system, they had to pump it out. It couldn't go out the natural way. And the doctor said that she will only live for 1 year max. And she lived for 3 years. And I will never forget that day when she died. It was such a, just so, we just all cried and it was just so emotional. And then God blessed him with another baby. She was pregnant shortly after that, and then that baby went in the pregnancy in her tummy and in her womb. And on the day that the baby was born, it was a stillborn baby. The baby was born dead, and I will never forget that day when we went into that hospital. Sorry, I just had to share it because it was so amazing for me. They were sitting on their knees there, the mom and the dad, and they were worshiping God, and they told us to come in, and we were all sitting there and just worshiping God. And I will never forget that day. And the dad just said, God is just telling us this morning just to worship God, just worship Him. And you reminded me of that this morning, William, of in all circumstances worship God. Even if it's so tough, even if it's not the normal thing to do, to worship God, worship Him. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship Him wherever you are. Worship Him in the most difficult season. Worship Him in when you are happy, when you are in a good season, worship Him. God, we want to worship You this morning. We want to worship You, Lord, because You know the best, Lord. Even that day, Father God, it was even impossible to worship You, Lord. Those parents, Father God, they heard from You. Just worship Me. Just worship Me and trust Me. And Lord, thank You that You want to do miracles, Lord God. You want to do big things, Father God. But sometimes, Lord, it's so difficult for us to understand Your ways, Lord. But Your ways are higher than our ways, Lord. Your ways are much higher than our ways, Lord. Because You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are who You say You are. You are always the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Lord. And we stand on that this morning, Lord. We stand on Your promises this morning, Lord, that You are the King of Kings. And we trust You. We trust You wholeheartedly this morning, Lord, and tomorrow, and the day after that. We want to trust You, Lord. So if you are sitting here this morning and it's difficult for you to trust God, it's difficult for you to worship Him in all circumstances, please come to the front and let us pray with you that God will, because I'm standing here and I'm testifying this, but it's even difficult for me some days. And I'm saying, Lord, I want to give everything to You. Lord, I acknowledge You this morning, Lord, that no matter what, we trust in You, Lord. So if you want to come to the front and let us pray with you, please don't go without praying with somebody. Amen.